Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Forging the Path. My name is Adam, and this is a podcast that's all about empowering men to become who God created us to be. And if ever there was a time where our culture needed men to step up, to rise up, to be loving, to be sacrificial, to be truthful, to be men of integrity, to be strong, bold, and courageous, it's right now. It's right now. And in its own small way, this podcast hopefully contributes to that end. Today, we're going to be talking about Malachi. We are wrapping up our series on the minor prophets, and it's the last book in the Old Testament, too. We've been doing this for the last few months. We started with Hosea. We worked our way through these small prophetic books near the end of the Old Testament that you usually don't hear preached about on a Sunday morning. And it's been really great because we want to have some of that prophetic edge as Christian men. We don't want to lose that boldness. We don't want to lose that close walk with the Holy Spirit. We don't want to lose that fire about standing up against injustice, standing up against evil and wickedness. These guys modeled that by and large. They modeled that really well. And so that's part of the reason why we're going through it. Before we dive into Malachi, I just want to say thank you. Thank you not only to our audience, but also thank you to our sponsors. There are several businesses that sponsor this podcast. We couldn't do it without them. You're going to hear from them in just a bit. And if you need a service that they provide, please check them out. They're on our website as well. That's right. We have a website, forgingthepath.org. Check that out as well. There's lots of good information on that platform, as well as Instagram, Facebook, and we're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Okay. One other announcement. Actually, let me say one other quick announcement. Band of Brothers, you guys got to check this out. Information about our Band of Brothers is also on the website. It is an exclusive community of men. I was approached by two or three guys who were listening to the podcast, enjoying it, but wanting a little bit more. They wanted more than once or twice a week podcast. They actually wanted a community of guys who would hold them accountable, who they could go deeper with, they could get encouragement from, and we could equip one another to be better husbands, to be better fathers, to be better leaders, and to grow in our walk with the Lord. So this Band of Brothers is a variety of resources that I've gleaned from over the years, some from seminary, some from other ministry trainings that I've participated in, some from business trainings and coaching sessions I've been a part of, some from books, both business and spiritual and life books. We're going to touch on all sorts of aspects of healthy biblical masculinity, and we're going to encourage each other as brothers to grow physically, mentally, and spiritually. So if you're interested in something like that, please reach out to me, adam@forgingthepath.org. You can also go to the website. You can also direct message me on Instagram or on Facebook. I'm happy to give you more information. There is a cost associated with this coaching. It's $50 a month. It's great to have a little skin in the game. I've found through my own personal experience, when I pay a cost for something, I'm usually way more committed to it and I get more out of it.
If you're in need of a real estate advisor in Wisconsin, then look no further than Zastrow Family Real Estate, powered by Realty Executives Integrity. My wife and I love guiding people to achieving their real estate goals and giving them an amazing experience along the way. Reach out to us today to discuss your real estate goals. Text or call at 262-725-2855. You can also find us online by searching Zastrow Family Real Estate. We all know that informed consumers make wise choices about their finances. The Michael Creed team at Luminate Home Loans always goes above and beyond to take care of every client. They treat each transaction like it's the largest transaction of your life, because that's what every homeowner deserves. Whether you're looking to buy or refinance, there's no one better than the Michael Creed team at Luminate Home Loans. To get a conversation started, text FTP to 262-696-9048. Is it time for your kitchen, bathroom, or basement to be transformed? Then you need to talk to Phantom Creek Builders. Based in Maquonago, Wisconsin, Phantom Creek Builders is a premier interior remodeling company specializing in kitchen and bathroom remodeling, as well as finished basements. Find them at phantomcreekbuilders.com. To all you managers, engineers, or facilities maintenance people out there, if you come into contact with picking, packing, and shipping of parcels and are in need of material handling equipment, design studies for best ROIs, conveyor maintenance, or just some ideas to better manage your warehouse, call my friend Ray at S2F Installation. He can help guide you in the right direction. A company designed to serve. 262-470-6882. All right, let's dive into the book of Malachi, at least for a couple minutes. Malachi, the name means my messenger. And Malachi was written about 400 years before John the Baptist walks onto the scene. And Malachi is writing to a people who have gone through Babylonian captivity and now have come back in several waves. Israelites are back in the land. They've begun to rebuild. They've rebuilt their houses, and then Haggai walks onto the scene and says, hey, stop neglecting the house of the Lord. You know, let's rebuild the temple. They have done that. They've rebuilt the temple, although it doesn't look as glorious as Solomon's temple was. Ezra and Nehemiah have also happened. So, Ezra brought some reforms to the land as a priest. That's really cool. Nehemiah helped them rebuild the walls of the city, and that's really awesome. However, there's still some issues happening with the people of Israel right now, and Malachi addresses them right away in chapter 1. He's trying to convince the people of Israel that God still loves them. Isn't that interesting? They've gone through some tough circumstances, some hardships, wouldn't you say? And a lot of people are wondering, they're looking at the temple, and it's not filled with the glory. You know, when they're looking at their recent history, and it's been tragic, and it's been hard, and it's been difficult, and now they're looking at the work right that they're right in the midst of trying to rebuild and still trying to rebuild, and it's hard, and they're not the nation that they once were, and so now they're thinking God maybe doesn't love us, and so Malachi has to say, in Chapter 1, verse 2, I have loved you, says the Lord, but you ask, how have you loved us? So right away in the book of Malachi, he's convincing, like, look at the other nation. He says, look at Edom, look at Esau, the nation of Edom. You know, I chose you guys, and you're still here. You don't even deserve to be here, but you're here. And it's like the Lord has to remind them of, look what I've done for you. I love you. Get your eyes off your circumstances and look to my faithfulness. Then Malachi addresses some other issues that Israel's in the midst of, like blemished sacrifices. They're not bringing their best. When they do an offering or a sacrifice, they're giving God their leftovers. They're giving God animals that they won't miss, animals that are injured, blemished, lame, you know, what have you. They say, hey, this isn't really going to hurt us financially. We're not really going to miss this. Let's give that to the Lord. And so Malachi rebukes them for that. He says, God deserves your best. Give him your best. What are you doing? This is why things aren't going your way right now. He has some warnings for the priesthood, the leadership of Israel. Is not stepping up and doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're not honoring the Lord. They're not revering him. And they're not remembering the covenant, right? Those sacred promises. And so the leadership sets the tone for the whole country. So Malachi goes after the leadership. Malachi also goes after marriage and divorce and unfaithfulness in that area. Marriage is, by the way, it's created by God. We didn't invent marriage. We didn't create it. God did. And there's a way that it ought to be done. And something in our society right now is way off base when it comes to that. One man, one woman for life. That's God's design. Well, what's happening right now in Israel is they're marrying foreign nations, and then they're chasing after their false gods and their idols. And then whenever they don't like the marriage, they're getting divorced. And so Malachi's like, God hates divorce. Stop getting divorced and stop marrying people who lead you astray after other idols and false gods. So this whole issue of marriage being God's design, God's idea, and our obedience
to that and how important that is. So he chastises them for that. Malachi also talks about the day of judgment, the day of the Lord, as so many of these minor prophets do. It's great and it's terrible. And who can endure it? It's going to come. There's going to come a time where every evil, unjust, wicked thing will be done away with. And for those who belong to the Lord, that will be an awesome and amazing day. Still heavy, not to be taken lighthearted, but we long for that day. And for those who don't belong to the Lord, that's going to be a terrible day. And then Malachi also has this issue where he brings up about robbing God and remembering the tithe. Tithe means tenth. And so he says, return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob God? And it's funny. In the book of Malachi, there's a lot of these rhetorical questions and answers. It's brilliant writing. And then Malachi goes on to say, in tithes and offerings, you're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. Now, this text has been twisted and mispreached in some instances to try and get people to give more money to church or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, Malachi is rebuking the people because they're not giving the Lord a tenth. And really, it's all about how they see everything in life. Their money, their time, their energy, it's all God's. It all belongs to God. We steward it. And so a good baseline is giving a tenth of it back to Him. And so Malachi says, go ahead and test God in that. And my dad actually told me a really cool story about how this applied in his own life and how he took up this practice of tithing at a certain point in his life when finances had been difficult for a while. And once he made the decision to commit to, I'm going to, no matter how I feel, no matter how tight money might seem, like I'm going to give a tenth back to church or ministry or missionary work, something like that. I'm going to give it back to God. It's all His anyway. I can find a way to live off of 90% and give 10. And my dad's not the only one. I know several guys who've done this in their life. They didn't always tithe, but once they started tithing, their financial situation changed. And I'm not saying that they got rich or they're suddenly super wealthy or anything like that. But there was a provision from the Lord. There was a new understanding of how God takes care of His people, a deeper trust in Him, a greater sense of peace about their whole financial situation, and yes, for many of them, increased finances over time, how God took care of them and blessed them and brought them from, you know, really tight financial situations and scarcity to more of an abundance through the practice of tithing. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful, and the church needs to get back to, I've read statistics in America, on average, we give about 2%. The churchgoer in America gives about 2% of their finances on average. And so I think the Lord would be saying the same thing. Test me in this. Test me. It's not about like, God just needs your money. He wants your heart. It just so happens that oftentimes the best way to somebody's heart is through their wallet. And so when we live lives of surrender and we understand that it's all the Lord's and we are to steward it, that changes everything. That changes, and He does indeed take care of His people. And He will provide and He will bless. And then lastly in Malachi, let's just end on this. He talks again about the day of the Lord in chapter 4, but he also says this beautiful line. See, I will send the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. And so our prayer would be that God turns hearts, fathers' hearts to children, children's hearts to fathers. This is a sign. This is like before the great day of the Lord. This is something that the Spirit of God is going to do. And I can't stress how important it is for any of you fathers out there to regularly be praying that your heart would be turned toward your children, that you would see them the way their Heavenly Father sees them, that you would prioritize them, that you would pour into them, that you would love them, that nothing else besides Jesus and your wife would come before your kids. And that the Lord would turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. There's an enemy at work who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And one of the things he's constantly trying to steal, kill, and destroy is this beautiful family dynamic, fathers and their children. And I think if I could make our country healed in many, many ways with the snap of a finger, and I could have one wish, my one wish would be that there is a godly, fatherly presence in every home in our country. That there would be a kind, strong, humble, gentle, wise father who loves the Lord in every single home, and that kids would have that everywhere. I think that would change everything about our country. And so dads, take this call at the end of Malachi seriously. Turn it into a prayer, and let's rise up together. Let's step up and let's pray that God continues to turn our hearts toward our children and the hearts of our children toward us, and that families would be healthy, strong, vibrant, and beautiful the way God created them to be. That's all for now. We'll see you guys next time on Forging the Path.